We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joining us right now, a guy you could follow on Twitter at Mike Garofolo. You could see him on the NFL Network. Occasionally, he spills coffee all over himself. And that is Mike Garofolo. Mike, Joe, and Evan, how are you?
Mike, how are you?
What's up, boys? I'm glad we could connect. I big-timed you a couple times recently. I couldn't make it on. We are very used to it,
Mike. Joe and I are used to it.
I didn't even know you big-timed. Just take, you know what, Mike? Take a number.
You know, we are, Joe and I, and I think a lot of football fans out there, are very excited that the distraction will continue with the NFL draft. And the one thing that made me laugh, it really did, was the unnamed executives that say, oh my God, this is going to be so difficult. We may screw it up. Mike, Joe and I are Jet fans. We see screwed up drafts every single year. What makes this any different?
Yeah, of course.
I've actually argued the opposite. Okay, here's what I'm arguing. I am arguing that, there'll be limited info, and these guys will use it as an excuse. This is why we screwed up this draft. Yeah, you know how it is. They love their excuses. But there'll also be a guy out there, a GM, a coach, whatever, that's going to push for a guy because he fell in love because he ran a 4.38 or something. Now some guys already have that hay in the barn right now, but then you get the pro day where the guy lights it up, they have a great meeting, whatever, and they just get the wrong impression of the guy instead of just paying attention to what's happening on the tape and what interviews that they've conducted with the people around him and all that stuff. So I think it cuts both ways, and I think one guy or a couple of guys out there are going to be saved from reaching on a guy just because they had a moment where they thought that they had found something that somebody else didn't. So I think it goes both ways. But they're really upset, the general managers. They were pushing as late as yesterday for folks like us to really put the pressure on the league. You guys got to get out there and tell them how bad it is for us and how tough this is going to be and yada, yada, yada. And I said, and they seemed confident. They said they would, trust me, you push this and it'll get moved, I promise you. And I said, your people said the same thing about the start of the league year, and then that never happened because you thought you were going to get that moved. So they were pushing as late as yesterday, but it seems like once that memo came out last night, that was the be-all and end-all. The draft is going to happen on time, albeit in a much different format.
As it should. I mean, let's be honest. It should happen. I mean, it's ridiculous to think that it wouldn't. You know, I mean, you can easily do it without these guys being in the room. Obviously, it's not going to be the extravaganza it was going to be in Las Vegas. And really, there's no reason not to.
Yeah, and there's little things that are going to be affected that, you know, you or I wouldn't think twice about. Undrafted free agency is usually, after the draft is over, they're scrambling in a room and they're yelling across the room, I just signed this guy for $5,000. Take that off. You know, because they've got a budget for what they can spend, and knock that off. And who's got this guy? Wait, we already signed a quarterback. You know, so that's going to be crazy if they're not all in the same room. Some of the discussions that they're going to be able to have while they're on the clock might be affected if they're not all in the same room. Because a lot of times what will happen is, all right, we're up. We got these two guys. Remind me about this guy's, because they'll have meetings upon meetings upon meetings. And then in the last minute, it's, wait a minute, let's go over this guy's medicals one more time. Hey, get the trainer over here. I want to talk to him, yada, yada, yada. All that. So that kind of stuff, while they're, you know, operating inside the same room, won't be the same if they're not allowed to be in the same room. But the draft itself can be conducted, and I don't know that it's going to be overly affected much if these guys are complaining.
And you know, if it was me, I'd drag it out for 7 days.
Yeah,
have each round have one day.
Why not?
Spread it out as much as you
want.
It's a good
idea.
Well, that'll give you more content, which, by the way, I think I saw Schefter putting that out there and kind of doing that, saying he had that idea, and I believe his executives were kind of on the same page with that. I actually have heard that that's something behind the scenes that's been pushed as far as spreading this thing out, because we need more content. Our guys need more. Or excuse me, your guys need more time. The GMs and coaches and scouts from day to day. All right, let's reset. Because that's another thing. A lot of times, guys will tell you. And it used to be the break was between, rounds 4 and 5 or 3 and 4? It was 3 and 4 because it was the first 3, then the last 4. And now the breaks are between 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. And they'll tell you that that's a good time for them to kind of regroup and reorganize. And, okay, let's have more discussions. Where are we? What happened? Can we move up? Do we want to move back? We like this cluster. It gives them more time. So from an operational standpoint, if you ask the teams if they would want that one round a night, they would absolutely sign up for it because it gives them more time to regroup.
Talking to Mike Garofalo, Cam Newton, where does he wind up?
I don't know. I don't think it's going to be with the Chargers. I mean, I see Tyrod's working out with him now. Everybody's been labeling them as the destination. Unless he takes some kind of team-friendly deal that is low on the guaranteed money, maybe high on the incentives, whatever it is, because they're not going to spend for a quarterback. So I don't necessarily put him there. Washington making the move to bring in Kyle Allen instead of Cam Newton tells you all you need to know right there, because those are the guys that certainly know him best. I don't know. I'm not hip enough to say I know. New England, I know everybody wants to say New England. I don't see them making a move before the draft either. Listen, I've been lied to before, but everything coming out of there is that we're not doing anything until we get to the draft.
We live in this. The world is strange enough, as we know, with the real world going on around us. But in the NFL world, it feels weird that we have guys who I think are good enough to be starting quarterbacks in this league, you know, to varying degrees, Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, Jameis Winston. And it looks like all three of them are going to struggle to find a job. Like, all three of them are likely going to be backups to start the year. This is not something we're used to. Usually, teams are desperate to find quarterbacks, and it seems like most teams are content with what they think is their future quarterback or simply having their future quarterback.
Well, let me back up on Newton and give you more. One of the things that I've said is this could take longer than you think, because his best bet might be to wait until somebody gets hurt.
I think it is.
And by the way,
definitely.
And by the way, you're going into a potential preseason that could have been off of a short training camp with no off-season work for offensive linemen who need the technique work and also need the ability to work out at their facilities to keep their weight up. Because a lot of these guys have trouble keeping their weight up. They bulk up to play offensive line rather than slim down. So you may have poor offensive line play in the preseason, early into the regular season. You may get a guy getting hurt. Now all of a sudden they're scrambling, and we need a quarterback a la Sam Bradford a couple years ago. I realize that was a trade, not a signing, but we need a guy because Teddy Bridgewater's knee just blew out. Whatever you need. Cam Newton's on the street. So that might be his best option. Now, to Jameis, I think Jameis, he's a prideful guy. We know that. But I think he's got a better understanding of his situation, which is I threw 30 picks last year. I haven't had the greatest career. Sure, the upside has been really good. And listen, that upside's been against NFC South teams. I'd be interested to see if some of those other teams might take a look at him. He would probably swallow his pride a lot better than Cam would and say, okay, I got to go be a backup. So let me go be a backup where I've got the best chance to get in, to get on the field and have an impact and really resuscitate my career.
What do you think Tom Brady does in Tampa? What kind of years do you have?
I think you might see some fits and starts early in the season, but I don't think that that's going to be an issue for him. And the reason I say fits and starts is, look, you're doing something different than you've done it for 20 years. You're not going to have your off season, your spring at all, whatever training camp winds up being, all the stuff we've already talked about. But my understanding is he knows that, and that was part of his decision-making process. Okay, I'm going somewhere else, and I know it's not going to be normal, but I'm going to be okay with that because a couple of years ago, things started off slowly in New England, and we had issues finding rhythm early on, and we were fine late in the year. Now, granted, it wasn't as good last year, in part because he would tell you the personnel – I'd also tell you that just the relationships were beyond the point of repair at that point, and a lot of people had kind of checked out by that point. So I think he understands that it might take some time for them to find their footing. But, you know, we're spending time talking about, oh, Arians likes to throw it deep and Brady likes to get it out early. Somebody I spoke to said, look, don't forget all that. What you've got is a really good football mind in Tom Brady, really good football mind in Bruce Arians. You got Tom Moore, you got Byron Leftwich, you got a really good offensive staff. They'll figure it out, and they know that eventually they'll figure it out. So long story short, they're successful. They're in the playoffs. I love their roster. Did they win the Super Bowl? Probably not. I'll take the field, but I think they'll be all right.
Well, one thing we know is that Antonio Brown is not going to catch footballs from Tom Brady in Tampa Bay, and I'm starting to think if Brady can't convince Bruce Arians, who obviously has a history with Antonio Brown, to sign him, then is he ever going to play football again? I mean, this is a guy who, you know, in 2018, after Pittsburgh got rid of him, was still in the prime of his career. I mean, guy's still a Pro Bowler, yeah. All pro basically every year. He's 31, 32 years old. But I'm starting to get the sense we're never going to see him play football again. What about you?
He's done a good job of keeping it in check, keeping the I don't want to say the crazy because I don't want to, but I already did. So he's doing a good job of keeping the crazy in check right now. He's got to continue to do that. If he does, if the last month or 2 months or whatever it's been since we've last heard of a blown up continues for Antonio Brown, he will be back in the league. He will play football in 2020. I am completely and utterly convinced of that. We shall see where it winds up being. I know there are teams monitoring and communicating to his camp, which his camp is now just him, but sending signals his way that just relax and just settle everything down. Let the league conduct its investigation. Whatever that'll wind up being will wind up being. You will play again in the league if you can just settle yourself down. And so if I look into the future, I don't know if he can continue that. But if he does, I am completely convinced he will play again in this league.
Now, you said Belichick will probably not do anything with his quarterback, at least until the draft. Do you have any? I mean, we've heard that he loves Jared Stidham. You buy that?
That would not surprise me. I go back years ago when Tom Brady came into a game and everybody said, you gotta be kidding me. There's no way this is going to be their guy. And 20 years later, you know, yeah. So if they like something that they see in Stidham, you know, more power to them. And I'm not going to sit here and second guess it because they know more than I do. Having worked with the guy close up, yeah, they like him. But when the lights come on and you realize you're Tom Brady's successor, what kind of reaction are you going to have at that point? That's going to be the litmus test. But they do like him. They seem to think he's a smart guy. They seem to think he's got the makeup to play that position in this league. We'll see. I give him a puncher's chance to be their starter.
I'll tell you, the closer we get to the draft and then preseason and hopefully the start of the season on time, the more I'm going to be convinced that no matter what that roster looks like and no matter who the quarterback is for Bill, the Patriots are going to win 10 games and win that division. Like, he'll find a way, like he did with Matt Castle when they won 11 games and didn't make the playoffs, but that's, you know, unlucky to win 11 games and not make the playoffs, that he's going to find a way no matter what.
Hey, listen, Buffalo, this is your chance. If you're listening to me up in Buffalo, I don't know how far the signal gets. But, like, at some point, if you're able to knock them off, right, doesn't that chip away at the mystique? Now, all of a sudden, you're feeling like, hey, it's our time now, and everybody else in the division can start to feel that a little bit, too. We haven't even talked about your Jets right now. I kind of like what they have done this offseason. To me, Joe Douglas comes in. And when you sit there, right, you come in as a general manager and you really can't do a whole lot other than claim guys on waivers, make little signings here and there. It's got to drive you crazy because that's the part of the season where GMs can do so little to affect things. This is their time of year right now. The temptation for him to come in and now all of a sudden just start spending big bucks left and right. And I think he did a good job of resisting that. He addressed what he wanted to address in the offensive line. He added some starters. He added depth. I like the Breshad Perriman signing. I thought Perriman was going to be a hot commodity because I didn't think that this was a great receiver class. And I thought he finally showed you that the light went on. And to me, a lot of times with guys with that ability and athleticism and size and whatever, everything, all of a sudden you show people a little bit and now they're like, boom, here it comes. And I thought that was a really good value signing. If he plays well, you got the right to extend him before anybody else. So I give Joe Douglas all the credit in the world for doing the smart thing and not doing the flashy thing this offseason.
I will say I would have liked to have seen Robbie come back, and apparently they offered him a four-year, $40 million deal, and he didn't want it. So, you know,
I got to see the structure on that, because from what I asked, from what I understood, the structure and the way that Carolina was going to pay him $12 million this year, the Jets weren't even in that ballpark. And the other thing is, my understanding is once he committed that, hey, I'm going to Matt Rhule, who's telling me all these things about you're more than just a speed receiver, we're going to use you in multiple roles all over the field, and he had a history with him and he knew he could trust him, which isn't to say that he couldn't trust Gates. I'm not saying that. But long story short, once he had committed to go there, the communication to the Jets was, don't even worry about matching the offer or anything, because he's already gone. He's already decided he's going to Carolina.
This leads me to something else, and I'm trying my best during the offseason to not crush Adam Gase, because he's not really doing anything to tick me off during the offseason. But, you know, you kind of alluded to it. Matt Rhule, you know, we saw it at his press conference. Guy's like a preacher. You know, the guy's really selling people. That it scares me that if the money is close, players are going to be drawn in on playing with guys they have a history with, as Robbie does with Matt Rhule, and not want to play for Adam Gase. I haven't heard of any player saying, boy, I got to play with the Jets because I want to be with Adam Gase. I haven't heard of that yet.
Nah, he's a different kind of guy. You're not gonna necessarily get that, those warm, fuzzy feelings. If anything, you're going to get somebody who says, okay, this guy's a good offensive mind. And I throw that out there, and I know you're rolling your eyes right now. I can hear it. I understand.
Rolling my eyes? Is that what you said?
I'm just telling you that if you're going to get that where, hey, I got to go play with that guy, it's going to be somebody who says, okay, I think this guy's a good offensive mind. I like what I hear. Peyton Manning, yada, 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 whatever.
Oh,
it wouldn't be.
Did you have to bring up Peyton Manning? This guy didn't want to play for my team, okay? He wanted to go back to school. He didn't want to play for the Jets. You know what he can do, Peyton Manning. I don't want to hear
this owner,
let's be honest, the owner who knows nothing about football, this guy, he's way in over his head as owning an NFL team, and he gets sold a bill of goods by this head coach. Let's tell it like it is, okay? Bill of goods by the head coach, and he's so brilliant, this guy, this owner. Oh, let the GM, let him do the draft, let him do free agency, and then let's fire the guy. That's brilliant.
Oh,
brilliant ownership, isn't it, Mike? Brilliant.
I've spoken my piece on that. That is
brilliant
water.
Ownership.
I'm down at my shore house right now, and I'm looking at a bridge with water going underneath it. That's water under the bridge, man. I don't know.
There is never water, bro. Point. Until that Super Bowl Lombardi Trophy is back in the coffers, I guess, in Florham Park. It's only been 51 years. There is no water under the bridge. Okay, the bridge continues to collapse. The bridge over the river.
I was going to say the bridge is collapsed.
No. The bridge over the River Kwai, and they're blowing it up. That's what it is.
What was the line at the end of that? The horror? No, that's I'm mixing movies now.
I don't know.
It was My Goodness or something like that. I'm going to screw that up. Damn, that was a good movie.
This Jet movie has not been a good movie. I can tell you that.
The Jet movie has not been good. No. You know what I mean?
We're talking to Mike Garofalo of NFL Network.
Adam Gase, one of the greats.
Now, listen, he's got to prove both of us wrong, because we're not exactly huge fans.
Look, we want him to. We want him to prove us
wrong. Yeah. Listen, being right is not that important. Being happy is more important.
You know, I'll build a statue. If he's the coach that wins my team a Super Bowl, I'll be building a statue to him at my house.
And you know what? Joe's going to build the Gase statue. I'll even build a Peyton Manning statue, since he told the Jets to hire him. I'll even do that. No?
All right. I looked it up. What have I done? That's what Guinness said. What have I done?
There you go.
The dynamite. There,
got it. Peyton
Manning, who really cares about the Jets. Who's he kidding?
No, he cares about his buddy, Adam Gase. On the Giants side of things, they obviously had a lot of money to spend. I mean, I kind of like what Dave Gettleman has done, but there's a big gap right now between the Giants and then obviously Philadelphia and Dallas. Your thoughts on what they've done to try to kind of cut the gap between them and the top teams in this NFC East?
Is there? I mean, how?
You don't think there is?
Nobody ran away with the division last year. Everybody wanted to give it away. I mean, I'm not looking at like a team that, you know, if you're in the AFC West and you know that the Chiefs come off that Super Bowl and thinking that they could be even better than they were this past year, you think, all right, we're playing for second place in a wild card here. Let's just get our victories where we can. I'm not feeling that way about the NFC East. I'm not looking at a team that's perfect. And I understand that the Eagles had a bunch of injuries. It's funny. I'm hearing out of Philly, everybody's like, Howie Roseman holds his press conference, or his conference call yesterday. It's like 50 minutes. And they are tattooing this guy left and right. And their people are texting me saying, I'm sorry, did we not win a Super Bowl a couple years ago? Did we not win the division last year? Did we not do it despite a number of injuries and the fact that we have a general manager with a track record of addressing the needs that he has to address? And I'm saying, well, yeah, but, there's no perfect roster down there. I'm not looking at that saying, boy, they're really set up for success. Or at least to run away with the division. I like what they've got going on. I love the quarterback more than some people do. Back to the Giants. The Martinez move, I think, is going to be actually a nice value signing because he's back with Patrick Graham, a guy that understands what he does and what he can do. One of the issues I heard with him was he felt like coming into free agency this year, he didn't have his best season last year as far as impact plays because the way that Mike Pettine does things, linebackers are more reacting rather than getting the chance to make a play. And the point being, you're kind of there and you got to read a second because of the way he's attacking gaps. And then you're making the play 4 yards down the field instead of closer to the line of scrimmage. Whereas he thinks that in this system with Patrick Graham, with their history, he's going to have a better chance of making plays closer to the line of scrimmage. So I like that. I think that could wind up being actually a value signing despite that he got $10 million. A year. Bradbury's a good guy. Also, if you can ask him what you want to ask him to do, don't ask him to man up. Don't ask him to bump and run with guys all day long because he's going to be exposed that way. So the Giants have an understanding of that. So you got stronger at corner. You got stronger at the linebacker position. The offensive line is going to continue to be a work in progress. They've really got to continue to get better on the front lines there. We'll see what more they've got in their bag of tricks come draft time. And if they take another corner, if they take Okuda or whatever, and all of a sudden you got a free agent corner that you signed and a corner that you drafted, I'd feel good about that if I were them. I still think that's a position to continue to upgrade.
Who do you like better, Jones or Darnold?
I like Darnold. I like Sam. I think Sam's got a good way about him. I like the way that he's handled the market and all the things that have kind of been thrown at him. And sometimes you look at it and go, hey, Sam, it can only get better, man. It's just been so crazy at this point.
Really?
I think so.
Well, we
hope. With the mono and everything that happened to him last year?
We hope so. We hope. It is the Jets. It is the Jets. We hope it can only get better. We hope so.
All you got is hope, Joe, right? That's what you cling to.
Yeah, I guess. You know what it is, Mike? It's stupidity. You know, it really is. It's just, it, one of the dumbest moves I ever made was become a Jet fan in 1965 because of Joe Namath. It was like one of the dumbest. Like, I've made a lot of dumb moves. That was right up there.
But I think it fits with you, man. I just can't
what,
see you.
Did I make
Giants
a lot of
fan
dumb moves? Yes, of course.
No,
of course it fits.
I'm just trying to picture you in you know, a Giants starter jacket in 1987 or whatever, 86.
What?
Giant starter jacket?
It's no, if you didn't 1965. What are you talking about? Giants.
Well,
starting.
I'm just trying to picture you along the way when things are going well as a Giants fan, and it doesn't click in my mind.
Oh, you being a Giant fan. Oh, I see.
You being a Giant fan.
Like, if you didn't make the dumb decision, Joe,
that you said you made.
I get what you mean. That changes your whole life. Like, all of a sudden, you're a Giant fan through and through. So it's weird to think about because it's unrealistic.
It's part
of your brand, being a Jet fan. It's part of your brand. That's what I'm saying.
Man. I don't know if I have any brands. My name is not Francesa, okay? Let's go right there. Let's cut right to the chase, Mike. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, Maybach reads for you?
No.
But you know what, Mike? What I always say to Joe, and I say it to myself too, is that when you suffer this much, drinking the champagne after winning a championship will taste that much better. The problem is, it's been a long wait.
Look, my wife already knows that she's going to put she's going to put some piece of memorabilia on the tombstone when the Jets finally win. She's going to put like.
All right, so here's what I'm going to do for you, Joe. Because I do this every year. People ask me once people figured it out, it's like you got to do this for me. Every year, I pick up confetti for the winning team of the Super Bowl because there's always somebody that wants it. Okay, so I got you. All right, I got you.
Cover me.
I got
for
your
that,
confetti.
Will you?
I got you.
You put it right on.
I'll bring a tombstone. You're gonna be dead? Is that what you're saying?
That's his assumption.
What do you mean? Am I gonna be dead? the clock is ticking, Mike. What do you think? I'm 30. I mean, come on.
Joe, the apocalypse is happening right now, and you're still doing radio shows. I got faith in you.
You got faith in me. Okay, I'm glad you do. Anyway.
Well, we'll hold you to it. We'll hold you
yes,
to the confetti.
Yes, we will. Mike, Evan, sure. Evan will make sure you do that. Okay?
Absolutely.
Evan will still be running around. He'd be very youthful. You know, he may be 72.
I was going to say, how old am I going to be? Well, Mike, don't big time us again. We appreciate
yeah,
you coming
on, Mike,
man.
Really, huh?
No, this was fun. This was fun. I'm regretting the big timing, so it won't happen again.
All right, good.
All right, anytime, Mike. Anytime for you, Mike. Huh? All right.
Thank you, boys.
Stay
Thanks
safe.
You,
Mike.
Well, now that I promised you confetti, it's anytime.
Of course, wow. That was the key. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate
you
it.
You well, Mike.
See you, boys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.